Welcome to episode 182 of the CU Insight Experience. I'm Randy Smith, one of the co-founders of CUinsight.com, and this show is all about taking a deep dive with the leaders of the credit union movement that make it so great. This episode is brought to you by Humanity. Humanity helps credit unions build inclusive cultures that attract, develop, and retain top talent. Today, I'm having a conversation with Brent Rempe. Brent is the president and CEO of First Alliance Credit Union in Minnesota. He's also a longtime friend. We've actually traveled together. So I've been excited about this conversation and I'm looking forward to it. But with that, let's jump right in. Brent, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Randy. It's great to be here.
So I've been excited to talk to you. And for those who don't know you, I guess we'll start with a little bit of background first. Where did your career start? And how did that lead you to credit unions? Very few people that have been on the show have been like, when I was a kid, I wanted to work in credit unions, right? What's your story?
In college, I went to Oklahoma State University, was a marketing major, finance minor, loved finance, passionate about finance, did really well in finance courses, but felt there was a cognitive dissonance between myself and my classmates. So I didn't see how finance could be used for good necessarily right away from college.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so decided specifically because I wanted to make a difference in the world, wanted to make a difference in people's lives, actually applied to an AmeriCorps program called the LaSallian Volunteers, was assigned to De La Salle North Catholic. You can see this picture over my shoulder here. Helped run a work-study program. De La Salle's from Portland, Oregon. One of now 39, it's the second of 39 Cristo Rey schools, which are college prep, career-focused schools that help fund themselves through a work-study program. So serving 150% of the poverty guideline. So if you can afford to go elsewhere in a private school, you can't attend Cristo Rey school. So started running the work-study program there. Was there for 2 years as a volunteer, 2 years as an employee. Loved the work, felt like I was in a mission-driven position and made a difference in every day I was there. Moved to Kansas City to help start the transportation system at Cristo Rey Kansas City High School for 2 years. Then after 6 years between the two Cristo Rey schools, decided to seek a master's degree. Ended up in my hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma, attending OU, got an organizational dynamics degree, but looking for a job while I was in master's program. Actually started teaching financial literacy at a local middle school.
Oh, no kidding.
My principal at that middle school is Steve Pittman, who happens to be the chair of TTCU Credit Union in Tulsa.
Okay.
So he was on the board at the time. And through his relationship with TTCU, I helped start over 660 children's savings accounts for middle school students. They saved over 100.
So you were already working for the credit union, exactly. Basically.
Exactly. So that was my introduction to credit unions. They saved over $150,000 over that 3-year period. And Weoki, and Nate Gillen, who's a vice president over in Weoki down in Oklahoma City, I met him through a group called the Oklahoma Jumpstart Coalition. He recruited me into credit unions. And after that, and attending DE, learned about the credit union difference, and the rest is history. Credit unioning. To use a word, I think CUNA tried to make it, what is that, a verb? Credit union in 2020. So credit union is now part of my vocation.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a couple different things that I wanted to talk about. As I mentioned kind of in the intro there, like I was looking forward to this conversation and I'd reached out to you and it was kind of like one of these times where you want to wait till somebody's kind of in the role a little bit. But I love having these conversations where you're not in too far. Because you still remember the process and that kind of learning curve that goes along with it. So that being said, you're fairly new to the CEO role at the credit union. Anything top of mind? Whether it went through the recruiting process, you had to meet your board for the first time. You've had to meet your staff. It's not like you walk in, bring all your own people, right? Like, is there anything like top of mind for either the person out there who someday wants to be sitting in a chair like yours, or for somebody maybe who's in the process right now, actually, first couple of weeks in?
Now, this will probably be a theme throughout the interview. I think trust is the most important thing when it comes to board relationships, interviewing, and building a rapport with your staff. And the model of trust that I like to use is by, I believe, Charles Green wrote The Trust Equation. And it's a sales book, but it essentially says trust equals credibility plus reliability plus, they say intimacy, I like to say professional intimacy, all over self-orientation. And that's what trust, the components of trust. So credibility is, I know my stuff, or I have, you know, training, or I'm prepared for this. Reliability, I do what I say I'm going to do. That professional intimacy is about relationship or psychological safety. And then self-orientation, anything I do that appears self-centered or self-oriented can diminish trust. And I view trust myself as a renter of trust, not an owner of trust. Every single day I have to work and on that trust equation with each individual person.
Let me ask you this too, because this is another thing I really want to touch on. And we're going to get back to more of your leadership journey as we go through. We'll spend quite a bit of time on that. But how you and I got to know each other was, both of us were over in Africa with our friends over at Akaska and through the DE program. So many people that have kind of shared that experience with over the years, and both you and I have been multiple times now. You kind of become fast friends, I think, when you share that experience, not only with fellow Americans, but from people all over the world. Could you, a couple minutes here, give me, like, why is number one that so important, or why was it important to go the first time? But also, you know, what have you gained from that? And, you know, I guarantee you've had the conversation, because I know I have, right? Like, where it's that idea of like, but how does that affect my credit union in Minnesota now? Like, you know, what could that possibly help my members, right? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, certainly. I first had the opportunity to travel to Africa with Lois Kitch, our dear friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
In 2017, she occasionally does these exposure tours where she brings a group of mostly people who've earned their DE or CUDE designation. I reached out to her in 2016 wanting some international exposure with credit unions. It's always been an interest of mine, and learning more about, I was actually at a conference in Canada for my graduate degree I was working on. And it was a cooperative conference. And a lady there, her name was Lacey, she, similar to me doing AmeriCorps after college, actually went to volunteer in Malawi, working at credit unions for 2 years after college. So I'm like, well, if Lacey can do it, I can do it. Reached out to Lois, and Lois says, I've got something for you next June. So this was in July of 2016. Next June, 2017, you and I are going to Kenya with a group of professionals from across the United States. So I said yes to that. And honestly, it's the relationships that keep me coming back. The relationships with credit union professionals, so executives, board members, people interested and passionate about the movement, and feel there's so much in common, and so much can come away from that conversation. I believe it was an article you'd written in CU Insight just about climate change being front focus for Akaska, the credit unions in Africa.
Absolutely. Yep.
Just a lot of forward thinking happening in the credit union system in Africa that's brought a lot of value to me. And every time I step away from the credit union to focus on just exercise different brain muscles, still applying to the credit union system, I come back with new ideas that I can immediately apply.
And I can see that. I mean, I remember the first time I went over being blown away by M-Pesa, and their payments like system seems so far ahead of what we were doing, basically, right? Like, they skipped the credit card. And there were so many other things. And then on the flip side of that, and I've talked about it often when people have been on the show, whether it was, you know, like when George Mbado's been on, or when Lois and I, you were there when Lois and I recorded sitting on paint cans at Don Bosco, right? But there's also that, there's something that's just so like true to credit unions that it seems like going on over there too. Like, that you can directly see the lives that can be changed, right? I think there's something about that that lights me up every single time. So
the mission orientation or the purpose drivenness. Yeah,
absolutely. So let's bring it back to the U.S. though, and talk credit unions. When you're looking out there today, and I know you study credit unions, you're all in, as you know now, but what are the biggest challenges that you see? Let's take that from a blimp level, credit unions facing overall.
Right. I think I've listened to your podcast a few weeks back. Brian Lee was on. I think he hit the nail on the head when it came to identity. Who are we and what are we trying to be? And I think, you know, credit union our size, we're $280 million in assets. And I think when you hit 100 million, maybe up to 500 million, you're hitting this growth, you're trying to scale, and you're not quite sure who you are and who you're trying to serve. So I think especially in this asset size, it's really trying to niche down. I like the saying, niches get riches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So yep. Purpose drives profit, essentially. but really determining who we are, who we can best serve and moving forward. And I think trying to be all things to all people is a really big issue in credit union space right now. I think certainly credit unions of size can be a little more diverse in trying to be things to multiple people. But when I'm talking about credit unions, like the 100 million to 500 million asset size, it's really trying to decide who can we most effectively serve and be true to our mission.
So going down the first rabbit hole here, how have you been able to, and maybe this is conversations that you have with your senior leadership team as well, like how do you not chase every shiny object? Because we do have whether it's CU Insight as a small business, you know, most credit unions, it's not like we have unlimited budgets. We don't have resources that we can throw out there, right? Like we have to be careful about how we're spending resources. How do you, I guess, stay focused, but yet still keep moving the credit union forward and innovate as well?
That's a great question. We're trying to answer that question now, as you alluded to earlier, newer to the seat. Last week. So I'm now 6 months and 1 week into my role.
Amazing.
And really tried to take my first year while still addressing moving the credit union forward, looking at strategy, having a few strategic goals, really trying to answer a lot of questions this year. Getting to know the Rochester community, getting to know First Alliance, getting to know our team, and trying to find overlap between what we think the credit union does well, what we think the community needs, and honestly, we need to get community involvement and get feedback on that, as well as where we're passionate, and trying to find the intersectionality between those three things to move us forward.
That's good stuff there. Twofold question for you. What has you most excited? You're 6 months in and 1 week. So like, what has you most excited that you and your team are working on at First Alliance Credit Union? And when then take the blimp level shot out too, right? Like what has you most excited about what we as a movement can do?
Certainly. I think the answer to both is going to relate to purpose. I love the core purpose of credit unions. We were founded to serve the marginalized and vulnerable of the time we were founded. So for First Alliance specifically, 7 firefighters during the Great Depression came together, pooled their resources to give a loan to a teacher. So many credit unions have that story. And we just need to stay focused on that purpose. And that purpose, we just had Toby Weingart from the National Credit Union Foundation come in last week for our all-staff training day and offer a training on the why of credit unions. I am most excited about how much the team lit up when it came to understanding the why behind credit unions. Starting with that why and reminding the purpose, like that needs to be the foundation of what we do. And the fact that so many team members are excited about that. I'm excited about the team members that we have here at First Alliance. You know, Mike Rozek, the retired CEO, Mark Hettinger, who is now CEO on the East Coast, but was an EVP here, have really brought together a great team. So they've laid a great foundation for me to come in and lead. So I'm really excited about the team itself and their interest and the passion. I'm also interested in the purpose conversation. You know, I think some of the past podcasts, Brian Lee specifically, talk about the new leaders and how much they identify with the credit union difference. I also appreciate the conversation that National Credit Union Foundation and actually Callahan are leading when it comes to the credit union difference and the purpose of credit unions and how that can then create sustainable business practices. So the whole idea of mission leading to margin, focus on mission, but have mission make that competitive advantage that leads us to being profitable and sustainable.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're all important. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about mentors who have helped you along the way to the CEO chair. As you hear that word, are there people in your career that you think of? And I would also like to add that now that you've made it to that chair, what are you doing to kind of give back to that? You know, it's an interesting thing. And I was thinking about this when you mentioned Brian a couple times already, when he was on or when like Monica Bells was on, where it's kind of the newer blood of CEOs coming in. What are you doing or going to do or do you hope to be able to do to help bring others along in that? If maybe you're a little bit earlier in the process than somebody else is, right? So, you know, big rambling question, but go.
First part, De La Salle North Catholic High School, I had 3 mentors there that I really think set me up for my entire career. The president of the school, Matt Powell, my direct supervisor, who's vice president of the work-study program, Mike Jacobson, and then the community director, Brother Jonathan Cord, he's a De La Salle Christian brother. Those three gentlemen really set me up with early mentorship early on in my career. Fresh out of college, might have not been the most polished professional. And the fact that they saw a diamond in the rough and brought out a polisher, huge debt of gratitude to those three men. In credit union space, Lois being introduced to DE, Lois Kitch, always there, always a person that I can reach out to ask questions, to help be my North Star. And actually, the late Pat Wessenberg was my mentor at DE. Traveled to Africa the first time to Kenya with her. She actually agreed to hold my hand on the airplane because I was so nervous. We were talking about that before the show started, how interacting it was to go international the first time. But I'd always been a person I could reach out to. And then most recently, I'd say two role models, both in education and in credit unioning. Amy Downs, the CEO of Allegiance, my most recent employer before First Alliance. And my wife was a teacher, her principal, Talita Denegri. Both Amy and Talita, I will say, were role models to me. And the fact, as a leader, you need to care more about how you treat people than what you know. So what is the saying? It's something like, people don't care what you know until you show them how much you care. And so that whole idea of the whole person, that empathy, so the two most empathetic leaders that I've seen are my most recent leader, my most recent boss prior to First Alliance over at Allegiance, and then Beth, principal at Mount St. Mary High School.
Well, make sure in the show notes to link to when Amy was a guest on the podcast. She was a ton of fun. So I want to talk to you a little bit about your network, like those people that you're surrounding yourself with. Do you have the folks, and maybe it's some of these mentors and these people that you mentioned, but that they'll be like, that's nuts. Or, you know what I mean? Like if you come to somebody with something, they're not just going to always be like, you're the smartest. Yeah. That's great. You know what I mean? And just kind of brush you off, but they'll actually push you to do better or whatever it happens to be. Right.
We'd say the number one person that came to mind with that question, Randy, is our mutual friend, Katie Zaleski.
Love it.
Vice president of, I believe titles Vice President of Human Resources over at Simplicity Credit Union in Central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'm looking for tough love and to really vet my ideas. Katie is the person I call.
I would not have made it to the top of Kilimanjaro without Katie, to tell you the truth, because there was a point where I wanted to just sit down and she was like, get up.
It was tough.
You're not sitting down. It was tough love, and she got me there. Like I've said that many, many times, probably not on the podcast, but off the podcast to people.
And I'm building a network of CEOs, both locally and have had some DE CEO friends. The ones that come to mind, Mary Beth Spuck. She's my phone a friend, text a friend, as is Jim Morrell.
We are just going to be linking to past episodes in the show notes all over the place. So many of the similar friends.
Locally building relationship, Caitlin Brahma at Farm Credit, Employees Credit Union, and recently made connection with Dave Larson from Affinity Plus, two CEOs that I respect here locally in Minnesota.
That's cool. I know you've listened to the podcast for years, that, and so many of the questions are kind of that scratch my own itch, right? When it comes to leadership. And this is one that I've kept in here for the last couple of years because I do love it. And it came from a different podcast, but it's that idea of what's the greatest investment that you feel you've made in your career, and the example Warren Buffett said, Dale Carnegie courses, right? So is there something that when you look back, you're like, yeah, that was worth the effort, the time, the money, whatever it happened to be?
Yeah, 100%. And I'm going to sound like a broken record. It's actually CUDE.
Yeah.
I had a very fortunate opportunity that Weoki Federal Credit Union, I was working at Weoki at the time, invested in me, sent me to DE. But then it was also up to me to dig into DE and to commit to the program and to see the difference and continue to invest in the program. I've gone back and mentored several times. I know you mentioned you're mentoring an upcoming ADE, Africa DE class.
I am in May. Yes, sir. I'm excited.
But those, the learnings there, like Toby's presentation from, she gave an Exploring Why presentation, a lot of that, some of that material's in DE. Probably at least the 10th time I've heard some of that material. And every single time, based on who I experience it with, I take away something new.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And so beautiful. Again, that, and not only that first investment, thanks again to Weoki for that, but that continual investment has been well worth through the learnings and then also through the network that I've built. I would not be where I am today, or have had the people who've seen something in me that kind of spoken, hey, you're going to make a good CEO someday. Without DE, that would not have happened.
This was a question that I was really excited to ask you about, right? We all hear about culture when it comes inside our credit unions or any organization. But when you're thinking about building a leadership team, and that doesn't mean, you know, that can be an inherited team or having to replace people along the way. Culture is something we obviously talk a lot about in my house with Jill in the people business. So, you know, but when you're looking at your team, what are you trying to find? Or if it's an existing team, what are you trying to bring out, or like that you want your team around you to bring to the table? And is there characteristics you're looking for?
Yeah. So the two things that come to mind first, values alignment. So are we, the credit union here, First Alliance has 7 core values. And do we align, are we acting in ways that align to those values? Or during an interview process, are we demonstrating past behavior, sharing past behavior that align to those values? Values alignment is huge. In order for us to have culture and the culture that we want to have, we have to, you know, live the values that we state. So that's first. And the second is that trust equation. Like, you have to constantly build trust, constantly realize that you're a renter of trust and not an owner of trust. And I look for team members to want to build trust with not just me, but with their teams.
Is there anything that shuts you down?
Yeah. The self-orientation on that trust equation is probably the biggest thing to me, and how I see that in interviews specifically. Certainly, you know, you want to make sure you're interviewing for a job that can help you support your family, help you support your lifestyle. Once you know the job and the salaries within range, it shuts me down in an interview process to hear that those questions until the offer's made. During the interview process, now that you know the salaries within your range, the time to talk about it after the offer's made, I really want to get to know you and get to know how you fit and what you can bring to the organization during that interview process.
What do you think today, you and I mean, growing up, you know, you talked about having the finance minor in college, and I'm sure we've both read some of the same books over the years and things like that. And I think some age okay and others don't, you know. So when you think today, what do you think makes a good CEO, the position you hold, but also you have other leaders in your organization? Like, what do you think makes a good leader in 2024?
To me, it's actually followership. It just kind of goes back to leader Simon Sinek. There's this clip about leaders talking last or being the last to speak. Can we bring out the best in our team members? And what are we doing to get high levels of involvement across the organization?
Let me ask you this. Most folks who make it to the top of an organization, you have a certain amount of work ethic that goes along with that, right? You put your head down, you get your job done, people know they can rely on you. When you're the CEO, you can't do everything. Have you, anything like along the way, maybe as you think about your career from where you were a, I don't want to say individual contributor, but you were a contributor on a team to leading contributors where you can't just do it all yourself or your way. Any thoughts or tips for maybe that young leader that's coming up and they're just like, ah, this is frustrating. I'll just do it myself.
Yeah, don't do that. It goes back to this mantra that I learned when I was in education. Be the guide on the side, not the sage on the stage. So again, it goes back to that idea of followership. How do we bring out the best in people? You know, I want to say your average employee wants to do a good job, but they just might not know what or how the credit union can be successful, or might not see how their role plugs into the greater system of the credit union. So I really see it as my role as CEO to spend time, especially within my first 18 months. So I've got another year to hopefully perfect this, although, you know, progress, not perfection. Right. Really trying to help people see how they fit into the credit union itself and see how their roles contribute to the greater good and connect back to ultimately the core of every credit union, our members.
You know, when we're talking about your team, and we have talked about your team and your leadership style there, the interesting position that being a CEO tends to put you in is you not only have the team in the credit union, but you also got a whole bunch of bosses above you too. You maybe went from having Amy as a boss to now you have 9 or 10 or 11 buses or however many. So I always love asking this question because it came from a conversation years ago with a friend of mine who became a CEO. She'd been on the senior leadership team before, been to plenty of board meetings. But when she became the CEO, she was like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how much I was almost shielded from the day-to-day interaction of having this many bosses. Any advice that you were given or that you would give new CEOs on how to be that focal point in the credit union, right? And how to make sure that the relationship is good and it's going to, you know, everybody's moving in the, let's say, paddling in the same direction.
Yeah, certainly. I think Amy Downs gave me a lot of great advice, and I think Amy saw something in me very early on in my tenure at Allegiance and provided some coaching, poured a lot into me professionally, so that, you know, a lot of her advice is those individual relationships with each board member. You have 7, 9, 11 board members. Each one's an individual and each one has different expectations. And just getting to know that person individually, and I think that some of Jill's advice from some past podcasts too, treating each board member as an individual and not as an aggregate is incredibly important to, again, build trust, build that relationship, get to understand what's important to each board member, spend time with them, make it, be intentional about it. And that's the advice that I've had and that I've tried to enact during my first 6 months here at First Alliance. Also really trying to be intentional about, you know, communication. Communicate in between board meetings. We meet as a board, or the board meets once a month. Reach out individually, occasionally have, you know, lunch or coffee with a board member, provide some updates in between if some things are happening at the credit union that it would be beneficial for the board to be aware of. Just that level of transparency and communication relationships, incredibly important with 7 to 9, 11 people.
Right. Yep. So a couple of questions as you look forward at the credit union. Obviously, we all have to innovate. We all have to keep moving forward. The pace of change in financial services is quick. How do you, I guess, as you look forward, continue to take new risks and innovate and keep the credit union moving forward? And one of my favorite questions on the flip side of that, when something's not working, how do you kill the project? You know, I mean, because like going back to that, we only have so many resources. Are there things that you've done in your career to say you only have to hit 3 out of 10 to make the Hall of Fame, right? Not every idea or every initiative is going to be a winner. So thoughts on that?
I think it goes back to, can't remember this off the top of my head, macro or microeconomics. I think it's macro, but the whole idea, and if it's micro, someone's going to come in and But the whole idea of sunk cost, the economic concept of sunk cost, people are emotionally tied to what they've spent money on. And I'm a huge believer ever since my very first economics course and about 25 years ago at this point, it's sunk cost just resonated with me. The whole idea of things, if things do not have future of giving us more value, we can't get emotional about the money we've spent into it if it's now getting to a point where we have diminishing returns. If future investments are going to suck more from resources, time, focus, attention away, we have to be willing to walk away. A recent example, we had a branch that was under construction. We had a little bit of a water issue. And there was a point where the water damage was more significant. This is here at First Alliance. It was more significant than we had realized. That we had to walk away from this branch. And it was our main branch. It was our headquarters for several years. And we're really taking a step back to assess, to determine what's the best path forward moving forward. And how do we innovate on branching structure? How do we innovate? What different models or alternatives can we look at to continue to serve our members in this area while being smart with our resources?
So that brings me to my next question. You're looking at the branch right now and your branch, how the branches are set up in the branch system. If you were to look forward in your early career, you worked with some young people. If somebody were, maybe they're in college today or they're looking out at a career in credit unions down the road, what does a career in credit unions look like to you?
Yeah. To me, I think there's going to be a lot more opportunity in credit union space, more in maybe some non-member touching roles as we continue to grow, scale, as things move on, as we take on different technologies. That said, you know, with the branch specifically, the one thing that First Alliance has done that I think is pretty unique is we've gone to kiosk only model or ITM only across. We don't have teller lines anymore. So we're able to essentially staff 21 teller lines via kiosks or ITMs with five tellers, or we call them ask advisors. And so the most common entry point in history to financial services has been that teller role. And now that looks a little bit different. And, you know, we've actually invested a lot in our lending role. We do like to do a little bit of higher risk story-based lending to serve our community. And so that's really where we've staffed in person a little bit, because oftentimes when people have colorful credit, that in-person connection, that face-to-face is really important in getting that loan booked and also getting that loan performing.
Absolutely.
But I think it can look different to a lot of different folks. And, you know, I don't think the branch is completely gone. I think I saw last week, in the next 3 years, Chase is adding 500 branches, something to that effect.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting thing, right? Like, I think for much like many things in this world, when we get all excited about something, we think everything in the past is going to die, and it generally tends to be someplace in between. And I'm sure branches will be the exact same thing. They can be reimagined from what they maybe were 50 years ago. But this kind of what you were saying about the lending, what you were just talking about with lending there, you're kind of setting me up for some of my questions here. That idea that you are a leader of a cooperative financial institution, keyword cooperative, that means that you do have influence over the lives of not only your team at First Alliance, but also your community, and quite honestly, around the industry as well. So, what does that word, or what does influence, I guess, mean to you? And then on the flip side, like, how do you see using that influence to empower others, both internally and externally?
Yeah, to me, that influence, I have to use it towards. I associate that with the word stewardship. So coming into an organization that just celebrated its 90th birthday, there's a lot of history here. It's meant a lot of things to a lot of different people. We've served our community well over the years, so much so, you know, we're still here 90 years later. So the very first thing with that influence, I have to see myself as a steward of the foundations, the history of First Alliance, of our members and of our team. So it's important to me to get input from the team as far as and co-create a future together. So listen, learn, and co-create something together. And how I've accomplished that thus far, you know, surveying the team, and we're actually currently working on some focus groups and some member surveys to really determine how we best serve and influence the community here in Greater Rochester.
So was that something that you came in from the beginning with, and again, you being 6 months, you know, on the job in that role, was that something or a vision that you put out to the board during your interview process, or was that a vision that they maybe put back to you? Like, this is what we want, Brent.
No, I certainly think that it's very clear. If you visit First Alliance's website, it's very clear on who we are, what our mission, vision, and values are. And anytime, and actually some of my advice to people looking for CEO positions is be sure to apply, vet the credit union before you stick your application in. Like, make sure the credit union you're applying to, especially for that CEO role, matches who you are as a leader, the best of your ability based on publicly available data, whether that's a 5300, social media, the website, news articles, etc.
Don't just chase the title, right?
Exactly. I was able to discern that alignment ahead of time and really felt like it was a good fit. First Alliance was a good fit just based on who I am and who the credit union is. And so, yes, that was a vision that I feel like I was able to bring in my interview process, is that, hey, I want to listen and learn and really honor what's there and not just come with a plan forward. Like, we have to build trust. And then from there, we get data, make the best decisions we can, and co-create something together, not just as a team, but we also need to co-create with our members.
Before I move on too far along, I'm starting to watch my clock a little bit here, and I knew this was going to be the issue with you and I talking, that I would have more questions than I had time to ask. But was there anything that you hoped that you and I were going to talk about today that we haven't yet to this point?
Yeah, just the you kind of just alluded to it about chasing title. I think that the one piece to me is I see the CEO role as a lifestyle, and I see it just in having to be able to, I mean, your primary motive needs to be about leadership and about paying it forward to others, to your team, to your community. And it's not the title, it's not the role, it's not the salary. It is about the people, first and foremost. And it's certainly not a job, a reward for a job that you've done well in the past. I mean, it's something new. And again, it's constantly evolving and constantly reinvesting in primarily in your people so that they can reinvest in the members.
So let me ask you this, the CEO role as being a lifestyle, basically, right? You have a beautiful family. How are you balancing it?
Some weeks is easier than others. I mean, just last week particularly was a little tough. There were four nights in a row. You know, Toby Weingart was in town and, you know, had to, you know, didn't have to, but offered to take her out to dinner. We then had an all-staff training day with an after activity. We then took our remote employees out to dinner, and then we had a dodgeball, intramural dodgeball competition. But it was great. Two out of four of those was able to integrate my family into that. And so, and Tobias, my five-year-old, is really engaged and actually has a lot of questions about First Alliance and gets excited when he can come to work things. So just trying to, again, that integration, one, being able, yesterday I was able after a meeting to go home and ride my bike before at 4 o'clock, that compared to last week. So it's really about that integration and finding ways. And I am very supportive. Beth, my wife, is very supportive of the role and sees part of her vocation supporting my vocation. So very appreciative of that. But really trying to integrate family in where I can. And just also, I think that helps the team see me as a human being.
Absolutely. Yep. They all have families too, right? So you had a really cute picture on Facebook of you and Toby working together. So it was just recently, but
he was enjoying reading our impact report.
Right. So you're sitting there.
And he's like, interesting.
That's fantastic. Okay, so as we wrap this thing up, let's have a little bit of fun with the rapid fire questions. It wouldn't be the podcast without them. The questions are rapid. Your answers don't have to be. So what was the very first job you ever had?
I was an internet support technician back for old dial-up ISP Dakota Communications in Tucson, Arizona. I called to complain about my internet service and got a job out of it.
That's awesome. When was the last time, either personally or professionally, you can think of that you were amazed?
Just within the last weeks. I mean, I'm so amazed, again, with that five-year-old, seeing Toby grow and learn. He's like a sponge. And some of the conversations we have are so adult-like. It's just been really amazing to see how much he's grown this year, been able to self-regulate a little more. He's in the beginning stages of learning to read, and that's been really great to see. And professionally, just, I was amazed last week, again, with Toby Weingart, Exploring Why workshop, and how much that resonated with the team. I have a team of passionate people for this credit union, for the credit union movement, and that is really amazing.
That is amazing. Is there anything that you're currently working on yourself?
Yes, I am actually working on becoming a little bit of a restorative justice practitioner. And so I went through a course before I left Oklahoma with the Restorative Justice Institute of Oklahoma, both circle keeping and their foundations training. And really, restorative justice is about bringing together people who have harmed others, as well as people who have been harmed, and trying to come up with some restorative relationships. I serve on the board of the Three Rivers Restorative Justice Center here in Rochester. And I'm about to go through training in May to hopefully facilitate some circles with some high school students who have maybe made some choices that transfer harm to others and try and rebuild those relationships with their peers.
Very cool. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received? And do you remember who gave it to you?
Yeah. So actually, my mom, it's both the best piece of advice and the worst piece of advice.
Okay.
I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. So when you tell a 7 on the Enneagram, which is a very squirrely person, excited about things, seek the heights, that is not always the best piece of advice. But at the same time, it's really been a kind of a mantra in my life that's guided my life and really tried to seek the heights to see what brings out the best in me. So really appreciate my mom for that piece of advice.
So I added a brand new question for you. So I'm trying it out on you here. What's something that you own that you really should throw out?
Yeah. If you ask Beth, my wife, it would be everything. We're 6 months into living in Rochester
Everything that's still in a box.
Everything that's still in a box. And we have a store, a sizable storage room that still is full of boxes. So I will, to appease Beth, I will say everything that is still in a box should likely find a new home, whether that's trash or taking it down to, or donating it.
Donating, yep. What's the greatest album of all time?
Pink Floyd, The Wall.
There you go. I think that's been mentioned before, so it's a classic, that's for sure. The NCUA Chairman Harper question. Who plays you in the movie biopic of your life?
Now, it needs to be, wait a few years for this to happen, but my son, Tobias, will know me the best, and we'll see how far the apple falls from the tree. So he should be in a movie on my life.
There you go. What are you currently reading, or is there that book that you just think everybody should read?
Yeah, the most recent book I read was CEO Excellence by Carolyn Dewar. And I think that's really pertinent to the conversation for new CEOs or people aspiring to the CEO seat to read. It's a really great read about, you know, what a modern CEO looks like and the different facets and dimensions of the CEO position.
We will link to that for sure. I've not read that one. When you hear the word success, who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
This is my third name drop of this person. I'm going to say Lois Kitch. And why?
She's been mentioned before on the podcast.
How many people she's inspired, how much impact she's had across the world in credit union space. But what I really love about Lois particularly, and what inspires me and why I see it as success, is after she's, well, not retired, but gone on to an encore, she's had a very meaningful encore that continues to impact lives. She volunteers a lot of time in her retirement helping Acosta. And that to me is an example of success, just being able to continue to have impact during your encore.
I do not know how she runs so fast. The last question, do you have any final thoughts you would like to share or an ask of our listeners out there today?
Yeah. There's this quote that Heather McKissick, now CEO of Q's, said in November 22. I remember her saying this, and it's, there is no substitute for a beating heart, no matter how well-oiled the machine. And I just ask listeners in credit union space to lead with heart. We certainly need a well-oiled machine in order to be sustainable for our members, but let's lead with heart.
That is the perfect way to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for being here, my friend. Can't wait for our paths to cross again soon, hopefully. If people have additional questions of you, what's your poison? What's the best way for them to find you? Email, LinkedIn, how can they find you?
LinkedIn is a great avenue. My email address is brempy@firstalliancecu.com.
We will link to that and everything else we talked about today in the show notes. So thank you again for being here, my friend. I greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity.
A few things before we go. Make sure to check out our sponsor, Humanity, in the show notes. Humanity will help your credit unions build an inclusive organization that attracts, develops, and retains top talent. Please also subscribe to the CU Insight Experience on your favorite podcast player. We're on them all. And if you're looking for one of the books mentioned on the show, for many of the episodes, a quick Google of the CU Insight Experience podcast book list and your next read is on its way from Amazon. Last, but certainly not least, I want to thank all of you for listening. Y'all rock. I appreciate each and every one of you. Be well, friends.